The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Friday. We're out here at Prime Social Club, where I think Lance has just been knocked out of the tournament.
Yeah, it appears he's done.
Yeah. And somebody picked up a $100 bounty on him.
That's good.
He's wandering around in circles.
He's headed over here.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I'd like to get a report from him. If you miss the first hour, lots of good stuff. There's always lots of good stuff on the show because that's what we do.
On the big show?
No, the bigger show. The biggest, the best.
The tremendous show.
So what the hell happened? You just sat back down over there.
Well, last table, I didn't have enough. I mean, the blinds were 30, 60,000.
That's a lot.
That was like your stack.
Yeah. So I had a king three suited. It flopped into an open-ended straight for me, potentially.
Worse things.
And then I didn't get it on the last turn. That's fine.
So what was the negotiation before the final
table
began?
I've never even been part of a final table here or a negotiation, and they just said take for 8th, 9th, and 10th place, $200 off the top from 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so a guaranteed yeah. 200 so that everyone gets a piece, and then I just donated mine to the wait staff and dealers. So we're even. I didn't buy into the tournament. If I did, I'd take my 100. So,
what if you would have won the tournament? What if you would have won?
They can get lost.
Okay, yeah, then you'll give the wait staff still 100 bucks, but the rest is going to you.
They get nothing.
Right. Okay.
Then I want to go big time on.
Yeah. Then you're a star.
Then I'm like, well, I mean, work for it.
Was there any discussion of just an even chop, a 10-way chop?
There was never a discussion of anything.
Okay.
I wasn't part of those discussions because
you were quiet. With
I
the
could
small
hold
staff.
My I could hold my chips in one hand. And they had multiple racks.
Okay.
So they just said, you can wait over there by the kids' table.
See, Fred and I, we have different mindsets when it comes, like when we're in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, when we get to the final table, Fred is a generous guy. He's willing. He's always willing to chop. Me, I always say, no, I want to win.
You're that guy?
Yeah, I want to, and I know it makes everybody else at the table mad, but like.
You made people mad? Come on.
I think I can win the tournament. So I want. That's what I sat down for, was to try to win the tournament. And then I feel like if I chop, I don't feel as good as
do you
if
chop,
I
chop. Is there a number where you would chop at, like top five, top three?
I'll top it like top three because then I'm still getting a good chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
But like I don't want to have like some of the like let's say the tournament at the MGM, which can take 5 hours. I don't want to have sat for 5 hours and at the end of it have $300.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, if I've played for 5 hours and I feel like I can.
This wasn't a chop. This is a negotiation where.
To make sure everybody didn't get bubbled out.
Yeah, which I was more than happy.
And I'm sure at some point, if they get down to five, they may discuss a chop at the stack.
They do. Even. Usually when I've been here and they've gotten to these tables, they will chop at about six.
But that's a nice chunk of change you're winning. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally okay. I'm always. If everybody else wants to chop, I'm always down with it. Unless there have been a couple times where I had a monster stack. And I said, I'm not doing an even chop. It's like, if you guys want to give me first and chop the rest, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But either that, let's play it out until the stacks get even.
Yeah.
And in the last time I did that, they wanted to play it out, and I knocked out three of them in like two hands. And then the last guy's like, oh, you want to chop? And it's like, hey, I'm like, no, not now.
Not now, yeah.
But you guys could have all chopped second, third, fourth, and fifth money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now that guy's getting second, so he's probably happy anyway.
Oh, he was happy. He was like the short stack, and he wasn't even involved in anything. He was just folding and hoping that I'd knock those guys out, which I did.
It's not easy playing with a bounty.
No, I was 3-0 until that last one. So I was
good
3-1
for you.
With the bounty.
That's good.
I was pretty tight. I played pretty tight. I got bullets once. I had a pair of nines beat a king, beat like a king jack. No, a tens beat a king jack. One of my all ins. So I had, you know, I played it pretty smart. There's a couple hands specifically I recall that I screwed up. I should have bet into them. I would have won, but I didn't. The other guy would have folded, and then they caught cards.
It happens.
Yeah.
So no regrets?
No.
Okay.
No tattoos with regrets.
Okay,
on.
Okay. This is a pretty good tournament. It's a nice little tournament. It was nice today to sit down, and there were 60 people instead of 80.
They wanted to put bounties on you guys and get you in here, too.
They did. Yeah. They had a bounty on me.
Yeah, I just got, you played, did you?
I did play. I got here late, though.
Oh, they can still put you in, yeah.
They put me in. I got here at about
What are you going to do if you get to the final table and you're trying to play?
That's what we talked about. We talked about that if one of us ever played here and we got to the final table, the other one could BS it until we got done playing. So there's, like,
yeah, it's
there's
not,
somebody.
Not like we haven't done shows by ourselves before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Somebody, like, either at the station or some, like, Joel or Barry or – you know, if you had gotten knocked out, I feel like we can all, like, we could make a negotiation to it.
We could chop our
right.
We could really, so now you want to chop sports talk rolls.
Right.
You want to chop hours, but
exactly.
Just not pots.
Exactly.
Oh, I'll see how that works.
Yeah, so I figured that if it ever came down to it, that would work out for us.
Good job. You know, if we could, they can't start to, if they started at 11, the tournament would be even better.
That'd
it
be
would
perfect.
Be. We
actually,
talked about that.
Yeah,
that,
you
but
talk
I think they
got to
get. They got the regulars that are so used to coming at 12. I think it'd be tough.
Yeah.
I'd try one Friday and see. Because yeah. That works out for John because he's right getting – where was he today? I didn't see him.
He went and played golf.
Oh, okay.
His buddy Chris from Green Bay came in to play golf specifically with him, so that's what they went and did. But John wants to get – he's like, we should – you know, we were talking like we should get every Friday do the show here.
I'd be okay with that. We were actually talking about that. I think we're going to – we're going to certainly be out here a bunch more, but it'd be great just to try it once on a Friday at 11.
I agree.
That would take it out of – because I don't think you're going to lose many people, and they could still come at noon and sign in and
it'd
get in.
It'd be great to have a listener. I mean, yeah. just a table of us and whatever listeners showed up.
Yeah, well, we had a bunch of listeners here today. I saw a bunch of them, but it'd be kind of cool to, you know, everybody – where there's bounties on us, if we get guys who are listeners, I don't mind donking off my chips to those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's always fun. But, yeah, we'll definitely – I mean, I definitely think we'll be doing a lot more with these guys. And I think and we all love playing tournaments. So, I mean, this is a good setup. It really is. I like the structure. You can get a lot of play. If you're not playing crazy, you can last a while.
Pretty
here.
Friendly guys. There's a couple.
Not so much.
There was one guy who threatened me with murder today.
Wait, you weren't the one threatened with murder.
No, no, that was at another table.
Oh, there were two murder.
Yeah, there were two murder threats.
I heard the one with the shotgun.
This was different. This was
all I heard was somebody yell, "You want to take this outside?"
Yeah, then it got.
I heard that too. Something about like somebody was angry because
off.
The guy was playing Ace Deuce.
Well, no, this guy was commenting on one. Like he was basically subtweeting him at the table. I don't know. He had a subtext of conversation with another guy, and this guy knew he was talking about him. And this guy, and apparently one of the guys who is doing that subtext in the conversation, uh-huh. He's a little bit of a nitty crybaby about some hands.
Okay.
From what I've been told by the other regulars.
Ah.
And he likes to tell you why you shouldn't have been in hands and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that guy.
I like to tell people, like, why were you in a hand that lost to Ace Deuce?
Yeah.
Like, why'd you play that hand? That's worse than Ace Deuce this time.
So that guy just wasn't really having it and got really mad, went to race car in the red, as they would say. As John Travolta would say
not quite the Guns of the Navarone.
No, not quite. But I mean, it got a little heated. They got him up, and I thought they were going to kick him out. And he went off and calmed down, and he had made another not so thinly veiled threat. While he was outside, I decided to walk over to the window just to see where he was, just making sure he wasn't going to a car, and he wasn't. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just sit back down and just.
You feel comfortable now.
Just take a look at where my exits are.
Yeah. Yeah, always
like,
know your
okay,
surroundings.
Okay, we got two right there.
Yeah, but
there.
You got that security guard guy here. Looks like he could take out the entire
building. No, you got some security guy. Yeah, they don't skimp here.
Yeah, but it's also if somebody
yeah,
walked out
scary.
To his car and came back, like
yeah.
How fast is that security guy going to get to you when you're right at the
trust
table?
Trust me, everything's going through my mind. I didn't know that you had somebody.
Yeah.
What'd they get mad at you about?
There was a guy who was rude at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I let him know that eventually someone's going to whoop your ass if you keep talking to people like that.
What did you say? I mean, what did he say? How was he rude?
He was talking to, like, there was an old guy sitting next to me, and he kept talking, like, I thought he was joking at first, but he wasn't. He was like, he was talking about him being old, and, like, this was like a legit old guy. And he was like, you don't need those chips. You're going to be dead soon anyway.
What?
Yeah, it was very odd. And finally, I was just like, dude, like, one day somebody's going to whoop your ass. And he's like, nobody's going to whoop my ass. I was in the pen for 10 years, and nobody whooped my ass. You know why? Because I ain't scared to go back. I ain't scared to stay in prison. And he started talking about how...
this was all a discussion at a table?
Oh, yes. And here's me smiling and nodding, going, oh, okay. And then he said... I'm the kind of guy, I'm from the Midwest. I'm the kind of guy who...
Farms?
I don't know. I guess in the Midwest, he said...
I was trying to play that Mad Libs where I'm the kind of guy who has been on a combine before in a wheat field.
Right. My thought was, does that mean, like, your dad lost his job in the last 10 years? Like, where are we going with that?
Were you an 8 Mile?
Yeah. What's the
deal?
Did
you battle rap rabbit?
Yeah.
Did he work in these slaughterhouses in Chicago?
So...
You have a sister who played softball and was really rugged, but a good third baseman who not much got by her.
He started talking about, I'm the type of guy who will make your T-shirt red and make your mom cry.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, okay. He's like, the difference between me and you is you're scared to go to prison and I'm not. And I was like,
this was all a discussion at the table?
Well, apparently.
And I was like, yeah, on that one, you're right. I was like, yeah, I'm not into going to prison. I'm out on that.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, see, we just live different lives. And I was like, well, yeah, we do. I live the life where I don't want to go to prison.
And I don't bad talk old people.
Yeah, and I'm just not a total a-hole to everyone.
I guess he figured that out in the first grade, huh? Oh, yeah. We live different lives. Woo.
Yeah, so, it was a thinly veiled discussion about murder, not necessarily a threat. But a lot of
death running around today.
It was enough to make everyone at the table feel uncomfortable.
I guess.
Eric Riley.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, let's just lighten the mood at the table, guys. Yeah. So it was an interesting interaction.
It's funny because I've been involved in a lot of that kind of crap in the past, and it's usually my fault.
Oh, there's a chop right now.
But
where are they down to? The last 9?
Oh, I don't know what they're doing.
They can't chop at 9. That's a slap in the face to you.
Yeah.
Are you guys chopping?
That's a personal insult.
You waiting for me to get out before you chop again.
Oh man.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Lance was 10th.
I could have used an extra $70.
Lance was 10th. They waited until 9 and chopped.
More, $45 more.
Wow.
Take it off the top 3.
Wow.
Oh, there's Parker negotiating, waiting for me to get out before he negotiates again. Yeah, I don't know. I'm good, thank you. So I don't know what's going on there.
Were you partaking in the beverages during the game?
Just one this time.
Okay.
It's like 4 last time, that's why I went out earlier.
Yeah. You seemed like
a lot tighter this time.
Yeah, and you seemed frustrated. Like you every time I saw your face it was like
last time?
No, today.
This time.
Today you just kind of look like
you had a lot of like
yeah, but that's just because I was more aware. I was fewer like this time I was like, you know, just grinding more. You know, it's funny because I just took down a couple of big pots and you stick around like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not playing at a bunch of hands. I don't play a bunch of hands right now. I love to, but here it's just not. You got to read your table because there are guys who will not let you limp at all.
The problem for me was when I showed up, they set me down
next to a guy from prison.
No, he was across the table, but they set me between.
Is he still here?
No, he's gone. Okay. The guy to my right was a big stack, and the two guys to my left were both big stacks, and I had the starting stack. And the blinds were already 500 to 1,000 when I sat down. So, my starting stack was 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had to find something to play. And then, like, literally the first hand I found to play was pocket jacks.
Yeah.
The guy, big stack, big money bags to my right, pushes all in right before it's my turn to.
So, did you call?
No, I folded. He had pocket aces.
He did have aces.
Yeah. He had aces. And then I got my chips in with pocket fives. And I lost to Eric Riley. He had King Queen.
But he's a nice guy to lose to.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
And somebody else called with like A7. It's impossible to get people to get off of a hand when you've got a bounty on
Eric's
you.
Eric's a nice guy. Skip's a nice guy. He's a guy who played for the Steelers. This is like a year they call Buck.
Daniel really Sepulveda?
No. Oh, damn. Not a Baylor punter.
Damn, all right.
That's not who it was.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you about MyBookie. If you want to get in on the action and games tonight, you want to get in on the basketball, you want to get in on NBA, you want to get in on hockey, they got you covered. And that's all at MyBookie. And you can lay down some big money. You can score big. You can play in-game. They've got a great mobile app that takes care of everything. And if you like horses like I do, you can bet that as well. And if you've tried online betting and you're tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout, well, that doesn't happen with MyBookie. You win, they pay, fast and without hassles. I've cashed out of there several times and never had a problem. That in-game betting is great. If you miss a start, maybe you're stuck in traffic because everybody in this city gets stuck in traffic. Well, you could even get in after tip-off. And if you join now, MyBookie will match your first deposit with, how about this, 50% bonus. Just use promo code RADIO. That's right, 50% bonus, promo code RADIO to activate your offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. Play, win, get paid. That's MyBookie.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On time.
Here we go.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number. Somebody asked, what are you going to do if that guy walks back in and confronts you? I do what I do now.
I'm going to do what an adult does, and I'll wait for security to remove him, or he'll just shoot me, and I'll be dead.
This is how you know you're getting old. I think we were at a concert a few years ago, and there were a bunch of kids that were causing problems and throwing their beer on people and stuff,
yeah.
and threatening to beat up the guy next to them, and. Rather than get involved, I just walked upstairs and got security. Said, can you guys come handle this? Went back to my seat and watched the rest of the concert. That's what I would do. I would go get the guy with the...
Especially while I'm here working.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know.
I'd just say, you know that guy over there with the fatigues and the big guns on?
Yeah.
Can you come take care of this?
I'm also completely sober.
Yeah.
So...
That probably has a little bit to do with it. If you weren't, it might go a little differently. Bleep you, man! I'm an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't. That's why I don't lose my temper anymore or get into anything with anybody because you never know who the hell
you never know
is at the other end of the table. And yeah, you know, it just nothing. Nothing bothers me enough anymore. Like I, the only time I got even a little ticked off was that stretch when we were in Vegas when I bubbled like four times in a row.
Yeah,
the fourth bubble. Especially when I got in way ahead.
you were a little salty.
I just said, you know what? I'm a little pissed off over this one. And then I walked off and had a drink, yeah. And I was fine. But it wasn't anything the guy did, and it wasn't anything I said to him. It was just, you know, it was just the frustration of bubbling yet again. And it was funny because stuff like that can get in your head if you're not careful, especially after the first couple. Because you get down to, and I think in that one it was like five get paid and there were six left, and you know, and I'm cruising right along. It's like I got this, got in really good, and I'm pretty sure there was a runner involved. And I'm just like, you got to be bleeping kidding!
Not ideal.
Yeah, but that's the game. 713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Do you see this Michael Bennett story?
Yeah, he's going around being a bully.
Apparently, he ran over a disabled security guard. Okay. Does that, for one thing, does that not sound a little disabled security guard?
It sounds pretty bad.
I mean, but apparently a Harris County grand jury indicted him for the charge of injury of the elderly for allegedly injuring a 66-year-old paraplegic who was working at NRG Stadium to control access to the field at Super Bowl last year.
Hmm.
So I got to ask, is that the – I mean, I'm not saying that people in wheelchairs shouldn't be able to have jobs and do things, but keeping people off the field?
It's not a great greeter at Walmart. Okay.
I mean, I know that sounds terrible, but the truth is, I mean, we're talking about safety issues here.
Right.
And
need an able-bodied person if you're going to ask them to do something like that could require,
Sorry if that's unpopular, but anyway, apparently he shoved his way onto the field where players were gathering to celebrate. Security personnel, including the 66-year-old disabled woman, told Bennett he had to use a different entrance for field access. Instead, he pushed through them, including the woman who was part of the security team.
Okay.
The charge, injury to the elderly, includes intentionally and knowingly causing
bodily injury. That's a crime?
Injury. Apparently.
So if I were to knock you down,
well,
that wouldn't just be regular assault?
You've got to be a certain age. I think you've got to be over
50.
No, it's
that's
not
when
over
you
50.
Become elderly.
That's just because I can get an AARP membership. That doesn't mean I'm elderly.
It kind of
elderly
does.
Is like in the
ask her.
What age do you consider to be elderly? Like when does elderly start? I just want an honest answer.
Okay, so he's 65. Okay. Well, so I have plenty of time. Wrong. I'm not even close.
What do you consider someone who's 50? Just regular old?
50 is someone with mature skin.
Okay, they're mature.
Okay, I like that. I have mature skin.
Okay.
See, she knows what she's talking about.
Your hide is well tanned, is what she's saying.
I have nice hide. I do. I've been told that. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Hey, guys. Texas Mattress Makers has their own madness going on. You can get the best bed for your guest room, your kids, or yourself. Hey, it's okay to be selfish. Go and get a bed from Texas Mattress Makers, and you can get it straight from the manufacturers today. And that's because they make them right there. They sell them directly to you. And because of that, you're going to save 50% guaranteed over what you would spend if you went anywhere else. It's just that simple. And they've got so many great beds. I've got the London. I've got the Athens Gel. They've got the Amsterdam, which has pocketed coils, works great for a deep sleeper and a light sleeper, giving you cooler and deeper sleep. And what's great, you go in there, they're going to ask you how you sleep. They're going to check out how you do it, and they're going to put you on a mattress that's perfect for you because you've all in the gang over there. They know. Like they can take one look at how you're laying on that bed and tell you this is the one you need. And they're not going to try to sell you one that's more expensive. They're going to get the bed that's right for you because they want you to keep coming back like I do, like AJ's going to do, because Texas Mattress Makers is great. They take care of you. The people are fantastic. They do great stuff in the community as well. Custom-fitted, handcrafted beds have never been more affordable. Visit Texas Mattress Makers. They've got two locations now, by the way, for our friends out in Katy, 5026 East 3rd Street, exit 742 on I-10 West. And, of course, you can go to the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and you know what that music means. It's time for the gambling guru of the universe for his weekly spot here on the Blitz. You can follow him on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. It's our good friend RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
You know, I can't lie. I've given some thought over the years to the concept of branding, and I think associating myself with Stairway to Heaven, really A-plus decision.
That was a smart move.
Smart move.
Hey, RJ, one of the things I'm curious about is how much, for instance, Duke and Villanova are the favorites right now.
how much did their numbers change based on last night's results? Because I would imagine before last night happened, Kentucky and Gonzaga had to be near the top of the favorites list, right behind them. And now that they're gone, how much did that impact Duke and Villanova's numbers?
Wow, that's a savvy question, AJ. Very savvy. I'm not saying surprising. I'm just saying savvy. And I'm making a big deal about it.
Well, I appreciate it.
Here's the, if you really think about, and this is kind of, we should have a little Twilight Zone music because this is a kind of deep concept. If you really think about what the odds are of a team to win the title in a bracket tournament like this, it's the odds obviously on the first level of winning the next X. There you go. That wasn't bad timing either. The number of X games coming up, right? So for Kansas, 4. For Kansas State, now 3. Okay, that seems pretty simple, that idea. But then it's like, okay, what would the odds be in each of those games? Well, unless you know who the teams they're going to play are, which you never would in a bracket contest like that, at least more than the next team, right? You might know the next one if they advance first. Then you've got to say, okay, amongst the possible teams they're going to play, what are the odds that Team A wins or Team B? And then amongst the 4 possible teams that could meet them 2 rounds from there, what are the odds of winning 2 in a row amongst those 4 teams? And then what are the odds if they played that team? So by filling in some of the potential future opponents with lesser teams, then what happens is the Kansas of the world, the Villanovas of the world, their chance of winning goes up even though they didn't play a game, because the projected spreads for the possibilities of their future games improved from the Villanova perspective, from the Kansas perspective, et cetera.
RJ Bell is our guest. Hey, I want to ask
something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I want to get back to college in a second, but sort of off topic a little bit. I guess we're getting close to the Supreme Court ruling that's going to make it legal in several states. I guess the general question is, how fast will some of the states be able to actually get betting shops up or set it up for legal sports betting from the time of the ruling? What could you realistically expect if you're, say, in New Jersey or in some of the places like Pennsylvania and Delaware, places like that that have already expressed interest?
So what are the stages, right? One is the ruling itself. Now, I will say this, and I am a, as I tell my wife, as I say we should do X, and she's like, you sure? I go, I'm a professional predictor, is I think the odds have worsened when it comes to the chance of this happening. Now, I still think we're up over 70%, but I think we were up over 90% a month ago, and here's why. When they release the rulings on these cases, and it's been months and multiple months since they did the oral arguments, it's usually the simpler cases first. And because there's not as many people, let's say, on the other side amongst the Supreme Court voters, in a way, they're voting, right? There's not a big minority opinion. Also, even if there is a minority opinion, how complex is it? So as we keep moving past these potential dates, the ruling could have been released, it's a sign that the Supreme Court is seeing more complexity in this than we thought there was, or at least what the experts thought. So, yes, I think it's going to happen. I think it's gone from 90%+ to, you know, the mid, you know, 70s, somewhere in the 70s. Let's assume it happens. Now, what's the 2 requirements to start betting? One is going to be legalization within, or legislation within the state that legalizes it. And Jersey's already got it. Some of these other states are negotiating it now. So that feels like that would happen very quickly. Number 2 is who's going to run this stuff. And what people don't realize is Vegas, Nevada, has been a beta test for this from non-Nevada operations for 5+ years. CG Technology, formerly Cantor Gaming, is an offshoot of Cantor Fitzgerald, a you know, many billions dollar company in New York City, one of the biggest financial operators in the world. And it's a situation where they came in years ago to Nevada, not because they thought Nevada was all that big of a market, because it's relatively not, but they figure, let's do our beta test, let's prove we're an elite operator, and then when it opens up other places, we'll offer a turnkey. Hey, just let Cantor, Fitzgerald, you trust us, right? Let us run your operation. And then the other example of that, William Hill, a European book, a huge European book, has been in Nevada for quite a while with the same intentions. So my gut feeling is that legislation comes very quickly, and I think a vast majority of the operators are going to select a turnkey from Nevada initially. Now, as time passes, they'll choose, do they keep using the turnkey or do they develop something themselves? I think some operators will develop something themselves, some will stay turnkey, but I would be very surprised if there weren't multiple states with legalization, assuming the court ruling goes our way, by kickoff this football season.
So I should be investing in William Hill and Ladbrokes and stuff like that, is what you're telling me.
Well, that, but here's the question. And to me, this is one in May or June we can do a whole, you know, 22-minute segment on, is right now you've got a monopoly in town. And William Hill has been quite effective here in Nevada business-wise because the competition in Europe is much stiffer. They compete well in Europe, and they've not been dominant here, but they've certainly been in the top, you know, above average business-wise, William Hill. But what happens when the Silicon Valleys of the world get involved, right? When there's talk of Verizon wanting to do something with this, Yahoo might want to do something with this. Doesn't mean the big boys are always going to win, but boy, when you look at that Darwinian environment in Silicon Valley versus this, you know, inbred, incestuous, monopolistic environment here in Nevada, boy, I'd be betting within 5 years, I'd be betting on the biggest, I would say three of the five biggest operators in the country will be people that don't have a sports book today, would be my bet. That more than half of the big five in 5 years will be some Silicon Valley startup we've never heard of, and maybe one billionaire company like Verizon, and who knows who else. I think Vegas is in for a lot of trouble because there hasn't been competition for a long time.
That's RJ Bell, and you know, thank you for that. I was just kind of curious, and people have been asking about it, especially if it does get done, how fast and what the time frame would be and what would happen. So
probably not that, Texas, though.
No, it's not going to happen in Texas. We're so far behind on everything. We don't even have casinos. We're fortunate enough now that they found a loophole where we have poker rooms, and we happen to be at one today. But the reality is Texas is a backward state when it comes to anything like this, yep. So it'll never happen.
So this prime location you're at, do they serve steak also?
They do.
They do.
Oh, really nothing good. Like a good cut of prime.
Oh, man.
And actually, this building, before it was a poker room, was a Brazilian steakhouse.
Oh, you know something? I love those.
I love them.
But that Texas, what is that, Texas de Brazil? Is that the big one?
That's one of the big chain ones.
I will not go there.
Why not?
Well, thank you for asking.
Yeah, I need to know. Did they treat you poorly?
They charge you a la carte for soda. All right. Now, listen, I'm walking and dropping, what, half a hundred on the buffet, really,
yeah.
Right? I'm fine with that, right? You want to charge me $4 for a soda? I'm fine with that, too. All right? I don't like it, but I love soda, so what am I going to do? But if you want to charge me like $3.75 for every 10 ounces you bring out, that's when you lose RJ Bell.
Boy, you don't get refills?
No, no.
Oh, man.
And I love this place. It's like one of the great, like, struggles. Remember in Animal House, there's an angel, you know, one, the devil and the angel on the shoulder. To me, it's like I love this place, but I just can't, for ethical, moral reasons, pay a la carte for soda.
Yeah, that's understandable. Like when I go, I'm usually a water guy when I do that, because you're you're taking in so much salt that you've got to kind of hydrate. Otherwise, your body's going to dry out. So I try to drink as much water as I can, or I drink wine. And, I mean, wine is definitely a la carte. But the water, they just keep bringing it. Same with iced tea. They keep bringing it.
But here's the catch-22 there. I mean, life can be complex, guys. You know this.
It can, of course.
Is if you're drinking water, all that meat's going to make you logy, and you're probably going to peter out. You got to caffeine up to keep push through and eat to physical pain.
Oh, not me. I can do that. I don't care what I'm drinking. I can eat until physical pain in that place, no matter what.
Well, I didn't expect that to come up today, but all right.
Well, I mean, Fred, you tell me, are you paying $4 for 10 ounces of soda when you're dropping 50 on the buffet?
No, but I honestly, I've only done a place like that once, and it was just to do it. I mean, I don't really, if I like a place and that the food's good, I don't really care. I'll pay whatever. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. If it's the principle though, like, do you really got to gouge us here? Like, you're not gouging us enough.
Yeah, that's something that does kind of bother me. Now, let me ask you this. Are they bringing out, like, a can of soda? Or
yes.
Do they have a fountain drink machine?
No, they're bringing a can, which is even worse because it's never cold.
That is obnoxious. But the reality is, and even there's a lot of Tex-Mex places down here who do that, who don't have fountain drinks. You do get charged by the can. But normally it's not $4,
yeah.
Which that's...
But hold on. Are you talking about when they have, like, the orange, the full sugar orange that is actually the real sugar from Mexico type?
Oh, well,
drinks?
That too. That's an upcharge.
Well, I accept that because they don't have normal fountain drinks like that, and they're going to charge
right.
You for each one. But if you're bringing me out a Diet Pepsi, yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's a little out there.
All right, well, there you go. We now have RJ's take on getting gouged at the restaurant. So
I'm guessing a lot of people on Twitter, on the text line, I think I've got a lot of support. I don't know how often you guys open up the phones for calls, but I would suggest next segment kind of doing a rapid fire, and I think 75-25 at worst on AJ and I's side.
Okay. You can text the show at 713-780-3776. We usually don't take calls when we're on location because it's a pain in the ass. So, I mean, you can
all right,
do
we'll
it.
We'll tally up the text.
Yeah. RJ does Twitter polls sometimes. He shoots them out to his audience. Hey, me and this scrub Houston guy got in an argument. Who's right? And, of course, they're going to take his side. They follow him. They love him. They don't know me.
But you guys are.
RJ
guys
always tries to weigh. I know, but he normally tries to weigh things in his favor.
Well, yeah, I've seen some of those polls, RJ. And it's
oh,
like,
really?
They're really simple. It's like, what do you think of me, RJ Bell? I'm great. I'm really great. I'm fantastic. I'm pretty darn good.
See, we're
are you saying RJ Bell's like the Trump of sports betting? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's tremendous. He's tremendous. He's the best. We know
sometimes
that.
Sometimes just a little above average, right? Like, that's the last one. But hey, let's be candid, guys. I come on your home court perpetually, right?
You do.
Imagine if I could lower your volume a little bit when you're making too much sense, or you know, you guys have all the edges here. So I've just got to fight and crawl to stay even.
I'll come on your show anytime you want, bud.
Yeah. Well, do you have national experience?
I do.
All right. Well, maybe.
Yeah. Of course I do. I'm a big star, RJ. Come on.
Yeah, RJ will do that to you. I've done things where he's the big dog. Well, he's always the big dog, but where he's in charge, yeah, he will turn you down.
Is he like Bill O'Reilly, where he like shouts you down? Like if he doesn't like what you're saying, he'll turn your mic off and start yelling at you.
No, he doesn't turn the mic off, but you have trouble getting the word in.
Is that your interviewing style, Bill O'Reilly?
Not at all, actually. Now there's two kinds of interviews, though, right? One is. You're doing like a Joe Rogan type podcast, and I want to get you guys in for that actually. So, because I've been doing, I did the first one with Oscar Goodman. We did about 2 hours. I did one with the wrestling guys. I don't know if you guys follow Something to Wrestle With, the podcast, which is like blown up, right? It's very popular. I got those two guys in. Bruce Pritchard was one of them, and I've gotten other radio guys in. But I love those like 2 hour, 3 hour, even Joe Rogan type deep dives. Then I think it's the guest is 80%, you know, of the talking, and, you know, maybe 20 for me. But if it's a debate, well, I mean, part of debating is style points, right? So I'm probably a little more aggressive there than the average guy. I can't lie.
I think you've been spending a little too much time with Stephen A. I think that's a problem. That's exactly
hey,
what
I'll
he
be honest
say.
With you. I bet because we're doing a show which I break down hot takes, which is kind of, you know, I've been watching a lot more of it. Stephen A, and obviously we're on the ESPN station, so let's embrace it. Stephen A is as good at that as pretty much anyone is at anything. Now, you might not like hot takes, but if you want a guy that's going to have a strong opinion, I mean, how good is he?
I just would rather your opinion be genuine. I think there's too much force there. You know, it's like you have to have an opinion on everything. And hey, you know what? He's been successful at it, and he's really good at that. It's not for me, but for people who are into that, yeah, I think he's as good as they come. It's just it's not.
But
my,
if you assume, I'm sorry, Fred. Go ahead.
No, it's not my style, and it's not something that I enjoy listening to or participating in.
But let's assume, and I'm not sure what the percentage is, but let's assume most hot takers are genuine about half the time, and half the time they're not. That's probably being hard on them, but let's say that's the case. If you take Stephen A's 50% he's genuine on, he makes as compelling a case from his side as anyone in sports talk to him. I mean, like, if there was going to be a debate, like a serious like college debate, we're going to grade who convinces people, who would you put up against Stephen A?
Oh, but here's the problem I have with that. It's if you're only genuine 50% of the time, it's like your restaurant where you're not going to go because you're getting charged. I'm not going to listen to the other 50% because if I don't know what's real and what's BS. And frankly,
that's
I think
a very valid point.
And so, you know, yeah, if we're talking about an actual debate like you do in college, I think you do pretty well. But again, when you go up against somebody who actually does believe what they're saying and has the stats to back it up and has the facts to back it up, then I would take my chances with somebody in that situation over him. But in general, no, and I don't want to sound like I'm dogging the guy because what he does, he's fantastic at. It's just not for me. I prefer if I'm going to be mad about something and have a hot take, it's going to be something I actually care about.
And, you know, I'm probably a little, you know, we never know when we're biased. That's kind of the point, right? If you know you're biased, you're not really being biased, right? You're just being disingenuous. But yeah. Is, you know, I've done his show for 4 years, and there was a point about a year ago where he really got personally involved in a conflict that was, you know, not sharing anything about it, but where he, like, in a shocking way, stepped up to support me. And shocking as in, like, you know, we were just, you know, I just done the show, right? We had never had dinner or nothing. And it just struck me, you know, that made a good impression on me, too. You know, so there's probably a little bias in there in his favor. I will say one last thing about this topic, which I think is fascinating. In a way, what you're saying, Fred, is like, you know, my sense of right and wrong, my sense of propriety, my sense of, you know, righteousness, whatever word you want to use. You're saying you think it's right to be genuine and being not genuine or disingenuous or whatever, taking a side you don't really believe, is something like, I don't want to really make that compromise. I totally respect that. But think about it. You're at a certain level financially. It's quite good, but it's many, 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 many times less than Stephen A. So what you're saying is that at my current level, I, even if I could make many more times, I wouldn't do it because of righteousness. And I totally respect that. But just think about how many people right now listening, how many people in the world, or forget the world, United States, right? We're economically a lot better off than most of the rest of the world in aggregate, are doing things that they just despise. You know, not maybe their entire job, or maybe it's, you know, a quarter of their job or half, but doing things they just hate. But it's like the choice in that case isn't X, you know, six figures X, or, you know, many times that, the choice is eating or not eating. So in a weird way, like, you're so fortunate, and I think you deserve it, because I think you and AJ are super talented and very good at what you do. But but you're kind of choosing, hey, even if I can make more, I'm okay with what I'm doing now. But boy, that is such a nice choice to have, where so many people are doing things they hate and they really don't have a choice.
Right. Well, and to just kind of put a bow on this, and we're out of time anyway, it's not so much righteousness. It's that I've had to be in a job where I had to do things that I was not comfortable doing, and that I was doing what bosses were telling me to do because they thought it was the right thing, and I didn't. And I vowed that I would not do that. And I've had opportunities to go to bigger and better places if I wanted to go that direction, and it's just not for me, and I wouldn't enjoy it. And I do well enough here and enjoy what I'm doing and enjoy the people I work with, and I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And that's, if you can get to that point in life, why mess with it just to try to get more money?
If we clipped out that last 40 seconds but then had a radio voice before it go, Fred Fowler talks about his time as a street hustler, it would have came out, you know, it would have came out exactly the same. Like, it would have fit exactly. You're like, I had to do some stuff. I'm not proud of it, but I didn't have a choice.
he's like Jay-Z. He's just slaying rock.
No, nothing that bad. But I'll give you an example. I was once ordered to write a column about why casinos at racetracks were a bad thing, even though I didn't believe it, but I was basically told do it or else. And so I got stuck in that situation where I had to write that column, and it, to be fair, it was a damn good column. But I didn't believe a word of it. So I don't ever want to have to do that. I don't ever want some producer telling me, okay, you got to have an opinion on LeBron James. You know, I just don't, you know, I don't need that in my life.
Well, very last thing, I know we got to run. I think listeners, even though there's a lot of skepticism about, from some quarters about journalism in general, I think anyone that's dealt with local newspapers in any way, other than maybe New York Times, Washington Post, whatever, would be shocked at the amount of conflicts, the amount of, you know, where the money's kind of driving things. You would think a newspaper is supposed to be the news, but boy, there's a lot of bias built into most newspapers. Not talking about any in particular, but a lot of bias built into most newspapers in my experience.
You know, one of these days I will sit down and tell you some stories about that.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, there's a lot. RJ, great stuff as always, my man. Look forward to talking to you again next week, and we'll be seeing you here in a few weeks for the Canelo fight. We'll be out there.
Oh, that's awesome. And if anyone actually wants NCAA tournament stuff, check out my Twitter.
Yeah, he's all over you're all over the NCAA on Twitter, so we're good. Thanks RJ. Dad. All right, guys, I'll tell you what else is good. Getting to go see the Masters. And if this has been on your list and you thought, there's no way I could do this, you know what? Get your buddies together right now. One Concierge has you covered. They put together amazing trips that people like us normally wouldn't have access to, like Ultimate VIP Golf Excursion to Augusta next week. How about this? Chartered jet travel from Houston to Augusta. Not Atlanta. Directly to Augusta. And if you've ever gone, you know you got to fly into Atlanta and take that long drive. No, they're going to take you straight to Augusta. Ground transportation to your premium hotel accommodations. And, of course, 2 or 4 day passes to the Masters. The course is the star. You've got to see Augusta National. It's one of the coolest things that I've ever had a chance to do in my life. And if you're somebody who's thinking, man, I'd like to do this, you get a chance to go see Tiger. You can also, there's other options, too. I mean, they give you all kinds of opportunities. If you want to play golf at one of their premium courses, an unlimited entry into the best 5-star hospitality club in Augusta with gourmet food and beverages. I mean, this is player life. Plus, any group of 8 comes with a Masters host home. How about a private in-home chef, too? That doesn't suck. Get some buddies together. Go to the Masters with one Concierge. Go check out the website, and you can find out the options that you have. Jets4golfers.com. That's Jets, the number 4, golfers.com. It's your turn to go to the Masters. Jets4golfers.com. The video to Arsenio, tell me, yo, what's the scenario? Scooby-Doo, whoopee-doo, scenarios, radios, rates more than 4. Scores for the scores, that's mother dance floors. Now I go for mine, say some C-shorts. ESPN 97.5.